kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Father, thank you for what you are teaching us as we have gone through these questions and answers, taking all of these comments, as you are revealing yourself to us. We are so grateful. Please continue. Don't stop. Walk in our hearts. Take away the veil. Direct our hearts to the knowledge of God in the name of Jesus. And in doing so, make us men and women of exploits. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, dear servants of God, it's not possible to go over everything that we have learned in the last, 20, 21 weeks of studying together. So I want to encourage you to go to the link in the chat. If you click on that link, you will have access to all of the previous teachings. You know, these are like 21 or 22 or more messages that we have studied systematically, line by line, one by one. And those things will help you to come up to speed. And you can share them with other people. Even the study outlines, also feel very free to share. And if you have not already joined the group, the WhatsApp group, so that when this information or these messages are shared, you'll be able to receive them in Jesus' name. Now, what we are studying is from our book, which we call The God Course. And you can get the complete book from the ministry. You can even buy online. I'm sure Bofemi can put that out. And you can even take the course online as well at Eternity Ministries website, where the course is available and the material is also available. But let's now get to a few key points that I would like to summarize. The first thing is, in our studies, we began to look at what we call our glorious inheritance. And that was to bring some important cardinal reasons why we should pursue the knowledge of God. And the first one I'd like to mention is because true genuine worship is not possible without knowing the person that we are worshiping. You remember the scripture in John chapter 4 and I believe Acts chapter 17 that we mentioned earlier, that we really cannot worship acceptably if we are worshiping an unknown God, the God that nobody knows. So that is very important. Femo, please help us to mute certain places so that we have some quiet. Thank you. So the other thing I want you to see is that the revelation of God is the key to a life of exploits. In Daniel chapter 11, I'm sure many of us are familiar with this scripture, but let me quickly read it. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Daniel 11 and verse 32, it says, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery." Talking about the Antichrist and how he's going to deceive and corrupt people in this last time. He says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and they shall carry out great exploits." Now, notice that the Antichrist will be corrupting other people with flattery. Flattery has become a major matter in the church today. There's a lot of flattery going on. That's not my subject. But if you look at verse 28, you will see that the Antichrist himself and his people will also be doing exploits. I saw that in verse 28. He said he will do exploits. He will return to his own land. And then you come to verse 32. There is another batch of people that are doing exploits. So what we see from Daniel 11, 28 and 32 is that this is an age of bilateral exploits. I said it's an age of bilateral exploits, meaning that both the Antichrist and his crowd on the wicked side, they are doing exploits. But also on the side of righteousness, the Bible also says that there are people that will also be strong and will do exploits. Who are these people? He says they are the people that do know their God, not the people that do have. You see, Daniel 11:32 is not talking about having God, which is good, which is foundational. He's talking about knowing. Knowing and having are two different things. You can have but don't know. Do you know that people that do have a demonic spirit as their God and they know their God, do you know that they too, they will be able to do exploits according to the level of their God? That's why you don't mess around with principalities and powers in the dark world who know the demon and the God they are following, because they are going to do exploits against the person. Unfortunately, many of those people in the dark kingdom are doing exploits against believers because those ones know the God they have with a small g, but the believer who has the big G, the big God, does not know the one that he has. So having God is not enough. The next thing now is knowing the one that we have. And the more you know him, you will be strong. You see, where we are now in the global church, you need to be strong. Look, things are collapsing. Lives are collapsing. Systems are collapsing. Things are being shaken. And I am sorry to say that this is just the beginning. This is the beginning of bed pangs. Look, even all of this COVID thing, I tell people, I say, you see this COVID situation, this is not the real thing. This is rehearsal. I say, this is rehearsal. I'm telling you the truth. This is not, some people say, this COVID thing is antichrist. Don't worry, this is not antichrist. Just take that. This is rehearsal. And those antichrist people they are surprised by their success, how much they have achieved with all of these things going on. But the point I'm making is that everything is collapsing in this generation. So you need to be strong. Where will the strength come from to face life, to face mountains, to face Goliath, to face challenges, to face end time issues, to face financial problems, sicknesses, satanic attacks? Where are you going to get strength from? It will come from your knowledge of God. And the more you know him, you will be strong. You will be strong in the grace of God. You will be strong in your confidence. You will be strong in faith. You will know that there is nothing that can arise that he cannot handle. He's too big and you are too small for him to fail. And then out of the strength of God in your inner man, you will do exploits in life, in ministry. There is no way. When you face the forces of darkness, they themselves know that you know him whom you have believed. And is able to keep what you have committed to him. Satan himself knows that this person that is coming at me is not one of those wimps that simply go to church. You will be strengthened with might in your inner man by the Holy Spirit himself energizing you from inside. The people that do know their God, they will be strong. The reason that many of us are weak, we are fearful, we are worried, we are anxious, we are troubled, we are harassed by life, is because our revelation of God is too small. And a small God cannot do big things. I said a small God cannot do big things. Now, the other important reason I want to quickly mention is that faith does not come from knowing promises. It comes from knowing the promiser. You know, when I was a younger believer, I actually thought that the more Bible I crammed, the more scriptures I memorized, the more faith I would have. And it was later I came to understand that no, Brother Ferdinand, faith does not come from just knowing promises. Do you know that it is not the promise that makes a promise credible? Is the promiser. That's why two people can give you the same promise. You will believe one and doubt the other. Why is that so? Because you know this person, but your knowledge of this person does not say that he can afford what he is promising. Please follow this. Do you know that as long as a promise is smaller than the promiser, it is easy to believe? Now, let me use myself as an example. Imagine that, Brother Ferdinand, I promise to give you $20. I'm using an international currency. Okay, if let's say $100, I promise to give you $100. Something we say to you, but Ferdinand can afford that. Do you need a lot of faith to believe that Ferdinand can give you, you know, $100? Oh, if you know me and how the mercy of God has helped us, something we say, I know, but Ferdinand can give me $100. In fact, but Ferdinand, increase it. But Ferdinand, increase it. I say, okay, I promise you $1,000. You will believe. Because something says, I know this man lives by faith, but I think that he can believe God and get $1,000 and give to me. But now, if I promised you $1,000,000, all of you that know me, but Ferdinand promised to give you $1,000,000, you are going to say, Brother Ferdinand, we know that you are a man of God and you don't tell lies, but $1,000,000, Brother Fed. Okay, let's pray. You will not be so sure. Now watch. What if I promise to give you $1,000,000,000? You will just laugh. Is it because you don't need the money? Of course you will like $1,000,000,000. But something says, if Brother Ferdinand has $1,000,000,000, he will have done some more things, you know, in the ministry. Probably some of our programs will not be hosting it where we are hosting it. Because $1,000,000,000 is a lot of money. Now, notice, as the promise is increasing and the size of the promise has remained the same, it came to a point where the promise became bigger than the promiser in your sight. Doubt set in. See, you never doubt a promise until the promise becomes bigger than the promiser. The reason we doubt the promises of God is because the promise looks very big and the promiser looks small. We don't know the promiser. If it was Elon Musk, the richest person in the world today, the man has almost $300 billion. It's almost unbelievable. Last time I checked, I think it was like $280-something billion. Can you imagine one man? If he was the one that promised to give you $1,000,000,000, will you doubt it? Of course, you will be looking for the money. Why? Because you know that he can afford it. From what you know about him, you know if it's Elon Musk, he can afford it. If he gives you $1,000,000,000, he will still have more than $200 billion left. Hey, if we come to know God, we will know that he can afford his promises. The creator of the ends of the earth, the person who hangs planet earth on nothing, can afford to give you a baby. He can afford to pay your school fees. He can afford to heal your body. He can afford to provide. He can afford it. The bigger God gets in your eyes, the tinier your mountains will become. Goliath looks very big to those who have not seen Jehovah. I said Goliath looks very big to those who have not seen Jehovah. When the man that had gotten a revelation of Jehovah arrived on the battlefield, did you hear what he said about the Goliath that was harassing everybody? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this fellow? They said, don't talk like that. His name is Goliath. He's a giant. David said, this is the end today. I'm collecting his head. Why is David talking like that? He said, I come against you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. You, for using your mouth wrongly, you will lose your head. That's how people that know God, that's how they talk. And they are not joking. They are not making empty statements because they have a revelation of the one they are talking about. So if you are going to be a man of faith, begin to study God. As you see him, if you see the size of Jehovah, Tiusu biete aikos ita, hallelujah, oto hallelujah, hallelujah. May you get a revelation of the true size of the Almighty God. Impossibilities will never intimidate you. You will know that he can afford it. You will know that with him, all things are possible. Please listen to me here. All things must be possible to the person that created all things. everything must be possible to the person who created everything. This is the truth. So, all of these things we have studied, but let me also mention before I leave that point, that God has given himself to us as our inheritance. You see, if you read the Bible, the tribe of Levi, when God was going to divide the promised land, God said to Moses, and then Joshua later implemented it. God said to him, when you divide the promised land, don't give land and territory to the Levites. God said, I am their inheritance. I am their inheritance. So do you know that it was implemented when it was time for those, the promised land to be divided and distributed? They did not get any land. They said, Judah, see your portion. Simeon, see your portion. Zebulon, Naphtali, look at your portion. And then Levi said, what about me? They said, Jehovah is your portion. Can you imagine that they were dividing land? And then they came to you, they told you, sorry, you don't get any land. God is your land. God is your portion. Levi said, yeah. God said, yes, I'm more than enough for you. Do you know that as priests of the Almighty God, God has taken us as his inheritance, and he has given himself to us as our inheritance? What an exchange. Hi, amazing. That God will take it. Do you know when God is inviting us to himself, God say, put yourself on the altar. You know what God is saying? God is saying, put yourself on the altar so that you can collect Jehovah. Let's do an exchange. Give me you so that I can give you me. That's what God has done. He is our inheritance. In Psalm 16, David said, the Lord is my portion, my inheritance, and my cup. You maintain my lot. He said, the lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. I have a goodly inheritance. You will show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God is your inheritance. And just like these other tribes would research their inheritance and possess their inheritance, we should be possessing God. We should be exploring God. We should be studying God. We should be investigating God to see the amazing inheritance that the Father God has given to us. Blessed be the name of Jesus. All right. Then the next thing we saw is what I mentioned about the divine self-revelation and the fact that we cannot know God by reason. You see, if we just use our head to figure God out, then we will be creating an idol, because we may think up an animal and start making, or we may think up something like Kali, you know, the goddess that I saw in India, you know, the statue, you know, the god that has, you know, six hands from, you know, we'll just think up something. That will not be God. So it means that if we are going to know God, God will have to reveal himself to us. That's what we call the divine self-revelation. And God has revealed himself to us in three ways. These are the principal ways by which we can know God. Number one is in the things that he made. You can read this in Romans chapter 1. If you read from 19:20-21, he says, the invisible attributes and power of God have been revealed in the things he created. Do you know that if you look at, you know, the work of a great artist, you can learn something of the person's character by looking at his work. I normally say to people, your work resembles you. Your work resembles you. I mean, if the work is excellent, it's because you are excellent. If the work is jaga-jaga, like we say in my country, scattered and sloppy, it's because the individual is sloppy. Your work resembles you. In the same way, God's work resembles God. When you look at the greatness of the things that he made, the stars, the universe, the galaxies, the look at the human body, look at your eyes, look at your fingers, look at your heart beating, look at the wonders of creation, you begin to get a revelation of who God is. The second way God has revealed himself is in his written word. The Bible is more than ink on paper. It is God revealing himself to us. And then the third way God has revealed himself is in his son, Jesus Christ, the living word of God. So the more we engage the means of the divine self-revelation with the Holy Spirit as our teacher, the more we know God, the more we grow in our knowledge of God. And then as we do that, we now begin to find what we call the nature of God. God is not something. God is someone. God is a person. In fact, in the course of our studies, we are going to do a study called Biblical Descriptions of God. Do you know that God is described in detail in the Bible? I mean, God is described in Scripture. What he is like, what his throne is like, what his person. In fact, there's a passage of Scripture that says that from his waist up, he looked like this. From his waist down, he looked like this. God is a person. These things I'm telling you are in the Bible. We are told what he looks like. So we find that God is not, you know, gods, because there is one God, but three persons in one God. We have discussed that. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we continue our study of God, we now discover what we call divine attributes. What are divine attributes? Divine attributes are the divine trademarks. They are characteristics. I mean, some of us will remember in our biology classes, remember that we saw the characteristics or attributes of living things. We say Mr. Niger D, movement, respiration, nutrition, irritation, irritability, and all the others, growth, you know, reproduction, excretion, and all of that, and then, of course, death. If something has those characteristics, you say the thing is alive. In the same way, the divine attributes are God's characteristics. They are his trademarks. They are qualities that are exclusive in God. So the more we study those divine characteristics, divine attributes, the more we know God. Let me give you a few examples. For example, holiness is a divine attribute. When we finish, in the course of our studies, we are going to have what we call selected divine attributes. When we are going to take specific attributes and study them in detail, we are going to be looking at the holiness of God, the love of God. We are going to be looking at the power of Almighty God. God, when we study the power of God, is mind-boggling. It is mind-boggling. Look, half of what God can do, no preacher has preached. Hallelujah. So all of these divine attributes help us to get to know God, the wisdom of God. The Bible calls him the only wise God. It means that everybody, every God else out there is stupid and blank. The Message version calls them imbecile gods. Imagine gods that are imbeciles. They are dumb and deaf and that cannot talk. They cannot do anything. God says, the Message, Eugene Peterson, he says, imbecile gods. So God is the only wise God. And here is another very important point. All divine attributes are exclusive in God. In other words, God is the only source of divine attributes. You cannot, the wisdom, holiness, and all of these attributes are exclusive in God. But here is the good news. They are communicable. Divine attributes are communicable. So that's why we can be holy. Not because we are the originators of holiness, but because by virtue of God's nature, by virtue of the indwelling, and by virtue of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, God communicates, God imparts his attributes, his holiness into our spirit. Another divine attribute that is communicable is peace. The peace of God can be communicated, imparted into your spirit. so that you will be at peace in the midst of a storm. Things will be raging all around you, but you will be calm and collected. Why? That is strange to human nature, but it is now being imparted into you by virtue of your Father God, who is now resident inside you, in the name of Jesus Christ. So these are divine attributes, and the more we study them, the more we grow in the nature of God, in the character of God. And don't forget that these divine attributes cover certain attributes that are not popular these days. Some people may not want to talk about this part. They prefer the goodness. They say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. That is true. That's very true. But do you know that goodness does not mean nice? The Bible does not say that God is nice. It says that God is good. Let me give you an example. Was God good the day he rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah? Of course, God is good all the time. So God was good the day he was raining fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, to make the matter more serious, it was his goodness that did that. The reason is because his goodness could not tolerate badness. I mean, if you are good, but you are comfortable with bad, are you still good? The answer to that is no. Imagine that you're a very good lecturer, but you don't mind people cheating in your class, but you are very good. Are you still good? So you see, when the Bible says that God, we need to be careful with imposing our own interpretations on biblical realities. When we say that God is love, for instance, what do you mean by love? You see, the love of God is not a set of feelings. The love of God is the passionate commitment of God to our eternal welfare that will make him to go to the cross on our behalf. So these divine attributes help us in the knowledge of who God is. And then we came to the fact of the Trinity, the fact that God is a triune God. You know, excuse me, some people who do not understand Christianity, excuse me. Somebody said, he said, do you know why preachers drink water when they are preaching? He says it's to keep the sermon from getting dry. That's a lie. It's not the sermon, it's their voices and their throats. So, back to what we are discussing. Some people think that when Christians talk about the Trinity, that they are worshiping three gods. Please, let's be clear. Believers do not worship three gods. We worship one God. In the declaration that God gave to Israel, say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So God is not, we are not worshiping three gods, but there are three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you try to understand the fullness of that revelation, it will be confusing to you. If you deny it, you are in danger of losing your soul. I had a friend of mine, a dear brother. He calls me and he says, Brother Ferdinand, that he believes now that Jesus was the first creature that God created. I say, stop, bro, stop. Don't say that again. You're on the edge of blasphemy. Jesus is not a creature. This is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Alpha and the Omega. By him, all things were created. The Father God himself called Jesus God. When you read Hebrews chapter 1, the Father said to Jesus, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a righteous scepter. So Jesus is God as well. And of course, the Spirit of God is God. So this is what makes up the triune God. The easiest way for you to understand and establish the Trinity, let me explain to you the easiest way, is to establish the fact that each member of the Trinity has divine attributes. So look at Jesus. Does he have divine attributes? Once you can establish that, then you end up with the truth of the Trinity. And the fact is that Jesus has divine attributes. He was equal with God from the beginning. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that's clear enough. So you can study that further, and if you have any questions, we can address that as well. But the other thing I wanted to mention is that if we are now going to know God, we now need to study the individual personalities of the Trinity. So that's why we have studied the Father, looking at God the Father as the creator, the originator of all things. And then we have now focused on our Lord Jesus. And we have seen the prehistoric Christ, the Jesus who existed before time, from all eternity with the Father. And then we also saw the uniqueness of Christ to establish that Christ is like no other. There's nobody like him. This is the unique Son of the living God. And then we saw the finished work of Christ, what Christ has done for us. And then in our last study, don't forget, we now looked at the glorified Christ, what Jesus is like now. You see, many of us believers, there are phases of the personality of Christ. Like I mentioned, you have the prehistoric Christ. Then you have the incarnate Word. That means when Jesus was born as a baby. You remember the baby in the manger. Many of us believers, the idea we have of Christ is the baby in the manger. Christmas is around the corner. And then we have the manger scene and we think of this baby. That's what Jesus was. That's not what he is now. And then we have the understanding of this Jesus that walked around Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth, that did miracles, that walked on water, and that healed the sick. Excellent, correct, lived a sinless life. That is true, but that's not the way Jesus is now. Then we also have Jesus on the cross, the Jesus that died to purchase our salvation. That is the truth, but Jesus is no longer on the cross. So you see, if your understanding of Jesus is the Jesus on the cross or the Jesus that walked around Galilee, that is essential. But we must get a revelation of Jesus as he is now. That's the glorified Christ. Do you know, I was shocked, I was surprised to find that the Bible never tells us looking onto the cross. It was surprising. Now, I know that we sing songs about in the cross be my glory ever. You know, bring its sins before me. Bring the sins of the cross and let me live from day to day with the shadow of the cross over me. I believe in that. We must live conscious of the cross. But please, we must see beyond the cross, because Jesus is no longer on the cross. He rose again after 3 days, triumphant. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father in the place of highest honor in the universe. Without that revelation of Jesus, you cannot walk in power. When you mention the name will not accomplish much in your mouth. The reason is because you don't know the stature of the owner of the name. Do you know that you can argue with Jesus of Nazareth that was walking around Galilee and people could insult him? They say, you have a demon. You are blaspheming. People could slap him and they could do all kinds of things to him. But sir, you cannot argue with Jesus as he is now. John the Beloved, we don't have time to get into the study. Please listen to the glorified Christ, which we sent out, you know, the other week. And you can find it at the link that has been provided. Do you know that John saw him on the island of Patmos? This Jesus. He said his head and his hairs were white like wool. His eyes were like flames of fire. He said out of his mouth, a sharp double-edged sword was coming from his mouth. He said he was clothed with this vesture. Down to the feet. His feet was like, you know, bronze burning in a furnace. Then he said his voice was like the sound of many waters. Oh, and come and hear John. He said his face was like the sun, blazing, shining in full strength. That is Jesus as he is now. I want you to study those passages. Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 4. Also, read it in Matthew chapter 17 at the Transfiguration. This is Jesus as he is, blazing in glory. This is the glorified Jesus, the Lord of the universe, the master of time and eternity, the one at whose name every knee must bow. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. May Jesus transfigure before our eyes. I say, may Jesus transfigure before our eyes, that we may see him as he is. Oh, the Bible says we will be like him because we will see him as he is, not as he was. Not as he was walking the streets of Galilee, as he is, the glorified Christ seated in majesty at the right hand of the Father God. So this is how far we have come in our studies, and we are going to continue these studies. And I want to encourage you, maximize these studies. This thing is not about me. It's not about Brother Ferdinand. That's why we are providing the materials free. And we're encouraging you, invite other persons to the group, share the resources, start this study in your, use another material if you can find, but let the knowledge of God be restored in his church until planet Earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Okay, let me invite you. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's praise him. Let's thank him for what he's bringing to us. And then after that, we can take a comment or two and then pray for any needs that we might have. Invite divine intervention before we draw to a close. But let's just bless the Lord. Let's worship him. Father, we thank you. Oh Lord, we glorify you. Let's worship him, everyone. Lift up your voice. You can even unmute yourself. Let's just worship him. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you glory. What an awesome God you are. Oh, Father, we bless your name. Oh, we worship you. Glory to your name alone. Glory to your name alone. Oh, Father, revive us, O God. Father, revive your church. Father, we praise you today. We exalt you. Be magnified. Be magnified in our eyes. Oh, the bigger God gets in our eyes, the tinier our mountains will become. Oh, Father, we praise you. You are the King of glory. You are the Lord of heaven and earth, the Master of the universe, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great God. Hey, God, you are great. You are a consuming fire. What an awesome God you are. Oh, Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Oh, we give you glory. What an awesome God you are, Father. What an awesome God you are. Oh, what an awesome God you are, Father. We worship you. Not unto us, O God, not unto us, O God, but unto your name alone be the praise and the glory. Father, we worship you. Oh, Father, we magnify you. Jesus, we praise you. Transfigure before our eyes. Reveal yourself to us, O God. Reveal yourself, O God, to us, O God. Oh, servants of God, let's ask for a restoration. Let's ask for a restoration of the knowledge of God in his church. Let's ask for a restoration. Let's say, Father, reveal yourself. Restore the revelation of the knowledge of God in your church. Oh, great God. Father, restore the knowledge of God in your church. Come on, servants of God, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's say, Father, restore. Let the earth be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Oh, Father, we praise you. Oh, Father, restore, restore. Father, restore the knowledge of God in your church. Restore the knowledge of God in your church in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we praise you.
Thank you.
Father, we praise you. I'd like you to pray a prayer for yourself tonight, this day. Would you like to pray? Say, Father, be big in my eyes. Be big in my eyes. The bigger God gets in your eyes, the tinier your mountains will become. The bigger God gets in your eyes, the tinier, the smaller your mountains will become. Father, in the name of Jesus, supe salote matelaki natoa, ripa, moido dotorot supe ndene kushti paratai tai. Oh, Father, transfigure before our eyes. Transfigure before our eyes, eternal one. Reveal yourself to us. Fill our hearts with hunger for your person, for your presence, for your power. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Sande Malataya. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Fill our eyes. Fill our hearts, Father, with a hunger for you. Oh, Father, fill our heart with a hunger for you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Thank you, blessed Father. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. If you have a particular need, if you have a particular need, you are sick in your body, please, I want you to listen to me. You know, when we teach like this, some people say this, people, they don't believe in miracles. Don't say things like that. You cannot know this God as he is and not believe in miracles. We are miracles. This is the miracle worker. Can you imagine that you are connected to him and you know him? And I want you to listen to the greatest part of these studies, which we have studied and we'll come back to, is that this God that we are describing lives inside you. The indwelling, he is living in you. You are carrying Jehovah. Do you understand? This is the life of exploits. But we are chasing shadows. We are busy pursuing other things instead of looking at the God that belongs to us. So if there is a need in your life tonight, you are going to experience God's power. See, God has told us that as we are studying these things, he will confirm this message with signs and wonders following. Did you hear what I said? God told me, he said, as you continue these studies, he will confirm this word with signs and wonders. So if there is a need, you need a miracle, you are sick in your body, you have a financial crisis, you have a child that has a problem, something that is troubling you, you need a job, I want you to bring them before the Lord now. Bring it before the Lord. Let's pray. I want you to bring it before the Lord. You will experience God like never before. To can it out. Like at Sia. Take a minute to pray, then we will pray to close. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you. Now, let's pray together now. Let's pray. Let's agree together. Eternal Father, in the name of Jesus, we demand now that by your power, confirm your word in the lives of these servants of God, leaders, brothers and sisters, Lord, that we have spent time gazing at you together this evening, this afternoon, this morning, depending on where they are joining. I ask now that you will introduce your power into their different situations and give them a testimony, give them a miracle, bring healing, to their bodies, solution to the matters, the crisis, the issues that they are prayed about. So in the name of Jesus, we receive the answers to each of these requests now. In the name of Jesus, be healed in Jesus' name. Receive a testimony. Receive your miracle. Father, we ask that all of these requests be granted. And now we consider them done. Done. In the name of Jesus. Done. Done now. Done. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, because you have answered. We give you praise. We give you glory. We receive the miracles, the testimonies in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for the opening of our eyes. Take away the veil from our eyes. Remove our heart from every distraction and focus us on God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' almighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Now, servants of God, I want you to listen. We are going to spend a few minutes and just respond to anything we have in the chat. Femo, please check them out and advise us. But dear servants of God, elders, leaders, I want to thank you for your participation and I want to make a request. Let's return the church to the pursuit of God for who he is, not because of what we are going to get. Let's turn back to know him. God said, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And he wants to use us to bring that revelation. So individually, let's grow in our knowledge of God. And then let's point people. Let's do studies. Start up some small group, Bible study. Listen to these messages. Do some Bible study so that people can know God. Let's teach these things in our churches. The fear of God will come back. The presence of God will come back in our churches, and we are going to see astonishing miracles, interventions, and the Great Commission fulfilled like we have never seen before. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord of the land and Lord of the sea.